Blog Talk Radio. You're tuned into Charmaine on the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and Merry Christmas. And as you know, as we round out the old year, which is the end of 2016, many people are thinking about setting new goals, redefining some old goals, and moving forward. Some people say they're putting the old year behind, looking forward to a new year, and all that fun stuff. This is the season to be jolly. This is the season to set new goals. And so for that reason, today we're talking about going places, setting new goals for 2017 and beyond. On Blog Talk Radio, this is Charmaine, your host. And my guest today is Eleanor Johnson, who happens to be my wonderful sister. Thought this would be a great show to pop in on. And also my other guest today is hearing the feedback from one of our guests. Eleanor, thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. And Margaret, thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. I'm getting a tremendous feedback from my studio about I'm going to go ahead and jump into the show right now. So hopefully we'll get that all fixed if one of my guests might have some issues. Going places, setting new goals for 2017 and beyond. So welcome to the show, Eleanor, and thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
So when we think about goals, what are some of the things that come to mind for you?
Goals, you know, for me personally, financial goals, physical goals has been one that, you know, I've struggled with for many years. Friendship, redefining certain friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And friendships / relationships, just a few at the top. And, you know, ironically, we speak about the new year, redefining them at the beginning of the year or the end of, you know, the year. And I think for me, redefining them could be actually, they work best for me anytime I have the hunch to go ahead and start with that goal right away. It doesn't have to be the beginning of the year, but ironically, a lot of people tend to just start, you know, honing in once 1 year has ended. I guess it's just a reflection and a reality, like, wow, a whole year has passed, January through December, and it's time for me to start doing something different, setting other goals. For me, it could be February to February or, you know, June to June, October to October. But that 12-month stretch, it's pretty significant where you're like, wow, this has been a whole year. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start doing something different because I did not see such a significant change like as I'd wanted to. But for the most part, it's all dependent on us to make that change, not an outside
mm-hmm.
entity. So sometimes we get busy and sidetracked and, you know, just busy with life and things just kind of fall by the wayside. So that's,
mm-hmm.
again, you know, to answer your question, financial, physical, and redefining friendship / relationship mm-hmm. goals is one of my top three things.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's great. I actually just wanted to just once again go circle back and recognize my other guest on the panel, Margaret. Thank you for joining me on the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. Just want to make sure we have that little technical glitch cleared away. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Hi, Charmaine. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
How are you?
Margaret, thank you for joining me. We just started out the show, and we just talked about the first question I posed was, you know, what does setting goals and redefining them mean to you personally? And then we'll just get into talking a little bit about how do we go about establishing and reestablishing goals and just let the conversation flow from that point.
Okay, awesome. Well, setting goals, I think, it's more from a practical standpoint where you can actually just envision something that you'd like to accomplish and say that you want it. So, I mean, goal setting is different for everyone depending on where your skill sets are. So some people might be very detailed in writing down this goal and then proceed to doing short-term goals and steps to get to that place. For others, it might just be of, I would like that to happen. But from my experience, goal setting is just the first step. I think what by the time June or July comes around where you've already set your goal, I think it's the perseverance of being able to put that goal in motion and recognizing that just because you want it or wish it, it's not necessarily going to happen exactly when you want it. And so being able to still focus on your goal and do things to attain them when nothing seems to be happening.
Some really key points you both brought out, and I certainly agree because one of the things you said was like goal setting is the first step. And a lot of times we get into the habit of thinking, okay, I've set this goal, so that means that it's already happening or it's already happened. And for that reason, a lot of times we tend to wish our lives away because we don't actually execute on these goals. And both of you brought up a really critical aspect of pursuing our goals and making sure that they're not just something on paper, but we're actually taking the steps to get to those goals and having those check-in points. And sometimes, of course, some people write them down. Sometimes some people might just envision them, like you said. And part of that envisioning, too, sometimes people create sort of like a physical vision board where they might write things down on. And a physical vision board, too, can be, I mean, I have one looking at right now, is a monthly planner for each month and then each day. Sometimes it could be like, you know, your day timer, a notebook. I've got a couple of those. And from time to time, I know I, for one, will flip through it. For instance, the page that I'm on was 11/25/2011. And it was a goal I wrote down in 2013, in 2011, on 40 things to accomplish in my 40s. And from time to time, I do take that notebook out because it stays close by. And I look at the 40 things, and some of them are absolutely so simple, pretty easy things like painting and pounds and a cabin and getting my degree, just different things. And I've gone down the line over the years and months checking those off. So it could be anything, whatever works for you, as long as you know that when you're setting a goal, you are working on an action plan towards accomplishing those goals. Any commentary from either of you on just that?
Oh, absolutely. I like that you touched on it doesn't have to be this elaborate vision board. You know, you said that you have your planner in front of you, and I think keeping items in front of you as simple as, you know, your a calendar checked off where it's not tucked away or like I'm guilty of that, of having a calendar or sticky notes well written down and organized, but then I'm like, oh, my desk is messy. Let me put it in the drawer, and then it goes out of sight, and all of a sudden, my goal is no longer there. So I like that. My goal is completely lost. So I like that. I do like that idea. And you know, we talk about this often, where you know the truth about yourselves and your weaknesses. Yes. So it's not new knowledge, but it's always nice to be reminded.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I mean, I think the thing with the sticky note versus the notebook, the spiral notebook, because, for instance, I know one of the things that we can continuously work on is our weight and our health, right? And that goes mm-hmm. for a lot of people. They set these goals all the time. But then you can go back. I go back to my book and say, oh, I did accomplish that goal at this time. And this is what I did. So it helps to remind me that you've done this. This is what you did to accomplish it. You have an action plan that's similar or the same. You can parrot that and accomplish this again. But sometimes we look at goals as, oh, I just want to get there and then that's it. But sometimes you have those recurring ones. For example, someone might be working on, they might say, well, you know what? I want to really be working on my anger and how I respond and react when I'm angry. And so that's not one thing that you're going to accomplish like overnight through hypnosis. It's something that you got to continuously work on because there will be situations that will bring up that anger. And then you have to remind yourself, okay, this is what I said I was going to do in order to not respond and react when I'm angry. So you might write out the plan. Maybe I'll think about this first. Maybe I'll walk away. Maybe I'll get in my car and take a drive. Maybe I'll go for a walk. Maybe I will just tell myself, just listen. Don't respond. You know, just different things. So, you know, I know Eleanor talked earlier about relationship goals. Notice I meant relationship goals, financial goals, and physical goals. And those are typically like the top three goals that most people will have. What would be some relationship goals? And I'm just throwing this out that some people may set for the new year, or if you want to share personally.
Well, I think for me, I am such a relatable person, and one of the things I've got to learn to do for myself is to realize that, like, we all don't think alike, so sometimes you
don't be throwing no shade on my show.
No, I'm not throwing shade on your show.
Kidding.
I'm just saying.
I'm kidding.
No.
Oh, that one went totally over my head. I missed that one.
Oh, no. Let's hold it back in.
Yeah.
No, everyone's different. I mean, it could be relationships with, your children, your other half,
mm-hmm.
Just regular, just friendships inside of work, outside mm-hmm. of work, and really just defining what it means to you. And, do we need to get closer to this person because of, whatever reason, or do I need to distance myself from this person? I mean, we're all full of love and, we can offer, we can be a significant part of someone's life. But I think me personally, if a friendship seems to be draining your energy,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to work in your circle of influence and realize, you try to pinpoint what it is about being in that friendship that's draining you so much. Is this person too physically or emotionally needy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't handle the need, then what do you do? Do you push that person away
mm-hmm.
or do you, to me, it just seems like it would be a little impossible to fulfill that person's need because that person has, things they've got to work on to not be so emotionally needy or physically needy. Is it draining you? And you have relationships that are great, friendships that are great, and you want to keep improving on that, and you kind of set those little goals. Okay, what are we going to do to improve on this friendship? It could be like just doing things together, touching base with each other a little bit more. I have a cousin that I put in my calendar, again, just putting things in your calendar to alarm every Sunday to talk to her a little
mm-hmm.
bit more. And in the beginning, that worked for a while. But again, just life in general, you're just so busy with things. It doesn't happen all the time. And as I work full time and part time and, just trying to raise not raise kids anymore, but living with two of my adult children and, just things take a different turn where in the beginning when we established that we're going to be talking every Sunday because we
mm-hmm.
miss each other, that kind of died out. So it's not every Sunday anymore, and maybe every couple weeks that we taught, but at least we still touch base. So, again, just setting that goal to know that we need to talk to each other a little bit more, you know, is helpful. So, yeah, that's just my mumble jumble of, you know, things that are going on inside my head right now.
And like you said, sometimes you can set some, you know, like goals. They don't have to always be these, oh, this is so huge. But the way I look at it, I think for myself, and this works for me, I just write down, for instance, like, what do I want to do, and, you know, and where do I want to go? For me, my goals include things like education and travel and home and children. And, you know, like there's so many different aspects of our lives that we have to circle back around and set some goals. Part of one of mine, and I know for Margaret as well, is having children that our firstborn graduated from high school this year. And then not necessarily setting goals for them, but setting new goals and revisiting some of our goals, a.k.a. dreams, aspirations, direction of our lives, maybe thinking through how will I deal with one of my children going from home and knowing that this is it, they're out into adulthood, they're out into whether it's a different state or a different place in life, et cetera. So just different things like that. And it could be I want to go to a cabin in the mountains, you know, need to drive 2 hours on a weekend. You know, really practical things. And let me just say this, that you feel like you want to experience before you die, and you want to experience within a certain time frame, which is before you die, or you want to experience or have or accomplish by a certain time, and then this is the plan. Education goals may take a few years, you know, continuing education. Career goals or career switch might mean I may need to get a certificate in this, that, or the other. Planning your future right now, I mean, you know, we're all sisters on the call, and we have an elderly mom that is transitioning. Future life plans, not just how it impacts her, but how it will impact, you know, our lives. And I know Margaret and I were talking earlier off, you know, of course, off air, about just certain things that, you know, the practicality of life is that, hey, now I got to set some new short-term and long-term goals. For myself, for my family, for our mom, you know. So, chime in, anyone.
I wanted to kind of go. I had a thought about as Eleanor was talking about relationships, and when you posed the question about improving relationships and setting relationship goals, the thought that came to me was not just in relationships, but as you mentioned, I have daughter graduating from high school, and that's relationship that I've had in my life. And so moving, transitioning from one phase of mothering her to another. And so this kind of ties in with the relationship piece, where I think that if in order to improve a relationship, what I've found is that you have to improve how you respond to things. So I think, well, you know, when it's challenging to work together as a team and do everything together as a team to improve one thing or relationship, you know, when two become one. I think the most effective way and the most practical way is if you're on the same page and your intention is the same, your goal is the same, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to participate in the same act. So, you know, as far as like, you know, having a stronger connection with your spouse, it might be a great idea to go out on date night every Friday. But what if your spouse doesn't want date night? What if in order for him to feel more relaxed, he wants to go watch football? So then there has to be some some willingness to give and take. And so I think not that you're always going to accommodate one person's need over the other, but the start of that would be from seeing how you respond to things. You can only control you and what you do. So, and then as Charmaine was saying, we're talking about goals moving after and like before you die type of goals. And for me personally, I live a life of very simple life. You know, it's not very complicated. So I kind of go day by day and I do what I like. And if I haven't done it, that means I haven't wanted to do it. And I'm in no rush to create a bucket list. And I'm in no rush to check off a bunch of things that I want to do before I die. Because that's something that I realize I don't have control over my life or how long I live. And when the moment is right for me, it will happen. These opportunities, in the way my belief is set up, they'll be bestowed upon me. So I don't necessarily have to chase a thing that I need to necessarily accomplish by the end of next week, next month, outside of course, practical things, like you said, you know, health goals, weight goals, relationship goals. You know, driving in the cabin and taking long road trips, that's really not on my radar.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, there's when we think about goals and envisioning or wanting to do something or wanting to have an experience, to me that all falls into one whole kind of like a bucket, not necessarily like a bucket list, so to speak, but sort of like a bucket. Because sometimes we envision things, or like you said, Margaret, one thing leads to the next. So you might say, you know what? I think I'm going to just go for my degree, because you may have gotten to a point in your life where you're like, yeah, I might want to do this for a degree, or yeah, I think I want to teach, or I think I want to, you know, get my PhD or whatever. You've envisioned that. So, you know, you are taking the steps, whether you might tactically be the person to write it down, you might be the one to envision it, right? So, for instance, let's just say, for 2017, which I planned like in 2016, like, okay, next year, here's where I would like to go or visit, because one of the things I like to do is to travel. So where would I want to travel to? Or, you know, I enjoy simplicity. So for me, everything is very simple, very frugal. It might appear differently because I'm into everything I do. So if I'm taking a walk, it's just a grandiose walk. If I'm having coffee, it's like I'm into the moment. So, you know, just like Margaret says, taking everything every single day, and as practical as they might be, and sometimes we don't think about them, but your goal, let's say, is to be a very supportive parent, right? Or, you know, I want to be there for my children. People say that all the time. Oh, I just want to be there and give them everything they need. So practically, for some people, it may mean, for me, let me share from my experience. For me, it may mean I'm going to see them off to school every day, because I might not necessarily see them when I come home in the evening or spend that time. So that's like consistently what I do every day. Or if they have a performance or a football game or whatever, I am going to be there. You know, so support might mean different for different people. For some people, it might be, I'm going to give them physically everything they want. If they ask for this, I'm going to give them that. So it can be just, then let's just circle back onto goal, right? Because very often it'll be possible to specify not only in the year that you're in, but also in the month that you're in. And what do you want to get accomplished this month? And I know Eleanor does a great job with her calendar. So how does that work for you, Eleanor, in terms of scheduling calendar and accomplishing small-term goals, long-term goals? And they could be very well related to just on a daily basis, or work-related, or family-related, or with the children, or significant other. How does that help you to kind of get your day rolling? And
It works wonderful for me. You know, my background is an administrative assistant, and you know, it's just supporting like 9 physicians and trying to plan things around. For example, like I like to, you know, go out and paint. You had mentioned painting, and you know, I find myself working like my personal life, like I do my work life. I make sure I write it down in the calendar at work, and it's also on my iPhone's electronic calendar. And then I keep my other schedule from my part-time job on my calendar at my full-time job and also on my phone. So because I don't like things falling through the cracks, for example, someone may say, hey, let's go out painting this day or let's go out to eat that day. And, you know, it's a joke, and it's been a joke for many years. Let me check my schedule. And I really do, you know, people crack up, but when I do say that, it could be something on there. I may already have, you know, I may already agree to say, you know, this day my friend's off from school, and I'm off from my part-time job this evening, and we said we're going to go out and get some, you know, shrimp that evening, and I can't schedule anything else that day. But if I don't write it down, then I'll forget that my friend said, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to go out to eat today, and I may agree to something else. And if I don't have the visual, you know, then that whole afternoon goes crazy because you've overbooked yourself. So I can't afford mm-hmm. that to happen. And that's why I put things on the calendar to make sure they do happen. And I have it right in front of me to know that I have this and that to do. And even things that I may not be able to attend, I still just mm-hmm. jot it down anyway. Just because I'm a need-to-know person. I need to remember that this person's getting married this day or this person's having a shower that day. I'm not going to be able to go, but at least I just know it's there. You know, out of sight, out of mind, but I just keep my things straight on the calendar.
Right.
It works
so
for me
because
I make sure I get
so
things done.
So practically, I mean, that's, yeah. So practically, I mean, we have 3 minutes left for the show, so I'm going to kind of circle around. But so practically, one of the things that is thought or known to work very well for goal setting is write it down, envision it, write it down, et cetera. And it's not mm-hmm. just like you said, on a daily basis. So if you have, because I look at it this way, 4 years go by so fast. For instance, one day I just got up and say, my big 40. In the 40s, I'm going to list 40 things I want to do in my 40s. That's 10 years. I mean, I've got a year mm-hmm. and a half to go, and I've got a few things on the list. Not that I'm rushing it, but sometimes I actually don't always take this out from 2011, but I actually know that I've envisioned it. It's part of us like, oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to go here, there, whatever. And I'll just jot it down in the list. Sometimes I've added to it a couple of things. Because I've done things that are not on there, and it was in my periphery. Now I've got to find 50 things to do in my 50s. But they could be as simple as, very simple, you know what I mean? So it's not like always grandiose, but having a life plan makes it easier to stay on track. Because if you fall off, you can get back on track. And I know we use this so often amongst ourselves, I'm back on, because we fall off track in so many areas. You know, just setting goals, categorizing them. If it's 2 years, I like the 2 year, the 5 year, and maybe the 10 year, because I know, like, I'm thinking to myself personally, when I get to 55, and this is just my envisioning, right? When I get to 55, wherever I'm at with my career, life, blah, blah, or if I decide to do a career shift, that's where I want to be for the next 10 years until I'm 65 to 68, right? So going into retirement, I know Martin and I talked about this. It's like, okay, if I'm going to be a PhD or be a professor or be this or change careers or be a writer, whatever it is, it's like I need to know, like, this is going to be it. For the next 10 years. So you've got those shorter goals that will lead to those professional goals, you know, continuing education, career path, your position at your job, the salary, et cetera. And just like Margaret says, anything can change, right? But sometimes if you mm-hmm. do have a plan, if you fall off, you can regroup yourself without feeling like I've failed at life. Another one that we talked about is personal goals. Friends, hobbies, fitness goals, diet, training courses, financial goals, major purchases such as cars, et cetera, and also family goals, you know, events, small events, birthdays, parents, brothers, sisters, you know, your children, whether they're graduating, getting engaged, family vacations, buying a house, adding something to your house chain. So there's lots of little things that we think about. We don't think that they're goals because we got to really work on getting them accomplished. But I'm going to just go ahead. We got a few seconds left on the show, and I just want to say thank you both for joining me on The Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. It has been a wonderful, wonderful short discussion. See, it went by fast, Margaret.
Yes. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I had so much fun.
Yes.
Well, we will talk offline, and thanks for joining me on the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful day.